Good morning. The sun is rising, and here I am again this morning on Good Friday. God bless you today. I hope that everything's going well for you so far as you enter this resurrection celebration weekend as we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I felt compelled to do four sunrise little devotions leading up to Sunday morning. Started yesterday with looking at the agony in what Jesus went through in the garden. And so today I want to look at Good Friday, and there's a lot we could talk about today. It's called Good Friday, obviously, because the Lord has done a good thing for us, for all of us in the world that will receive Him. This is a good day. But for Him, many years ago, this was the day of crucifixion, of being turned over and betrayed, put through a mock trial, and then crucified. There's one thing I want to focus on today in particular, of the seven statements that Jesus made on the cross, often called the last seven words of Christ. There is one that I want to focus on today, and it's in John chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. It is finished. Probably the three most powerful and meaningful words in the Bible. You know, we were under the dominion of Satan, under the dominion of sin, because of the sinfulness that had entered into our hearts. The iniquity, it's called in the Bible, which is the predisposition to sin, the leaning toward rebellion against God, came into our hearts in the garden with Adam and Eve's fall. And so we know that sinfulness had ruled over mankind for thousands of years leading up to Jesus appearing. But God had been making promises, and prophecies were given through prophets, foretelling of the Messiah, foretelling of what would come to help bring a solution to this sin problem. You see, God's anger is kindled against the sinner. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that He hates the sinner all the day long. And so this sounds different to us. This sounds foreign to us when we live in a time of grace and we talk about how much God loves us. And truly, God's love is triumphant, and even is shown here today to us in these three words: it is finished. You see, there was a debt that humanity owed God, and all of us born in humanity under Adam and Eve, which is all of us to follow, we had a corresponding debt to pay God. We could not pay that debt. So God devised a system of sacrifices, a system of festivals and laws throughout the Old Testament to bring justice and justification and righteousness to the people of Israel who would follow after with the sacrifices of animal blood and all of the temple and all of the various things that God instituted to help pay the penalty for sin and to help shield humanity from the wrath of God. It's not the enemy, the devil, so much that we have to be worried about. It's whether or not we're in right relationship with God Almighty, the judge of all the universe, if we are in a place of favor with Him and grace with Him. And so mankind really was not there in that position for thousands of years. But then Jesus comes, lives a sinful life, sinless life, and lives a life He is the Son of the living God, and He comes and lives on our behalf, and then dies on the cross. And this is the ultimate sacrifice. And so what does this phrase mean when Jesus is at the point of giving up His life and dying in the physical and getting ready to do His ministry leading to the resurrection that we'll talk about tomorrow? What is this phrase? It is finished. It is finished. Well, it means several things. First of all, it means paid in full. It's a term, I pay, or I paid completely. And so the word is an accounting term. It's an old accounting phrase that means that the account has been settled, that it has been paid in full, it's been satisfied. Praise God, it's been satisfied. The debt has been paid. Wouldn't you love it if you had a massive debt? Some of you do struggle with debt in your life, and somebody came along and said, "Hey, I paid it all. You don't owe anything else. It's all paid in full." Wouldn't that pressure just come off your shoulders and the stress and anxiety over all of that debt? Well, that's what sin was to us, a debt to God that had to be paid and satisfied. And the blood of rams and bulls and lambs only paid it temporarily. There had to be a final solution, a final solution to our ability to come to God and not be hindered by this debt of sin. So what was finished? Well, there's a lot of things we could talk about that was finished when Jesus said these words. All the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah and his death had been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, all of the things that are talked about throughout the Old Testament, the hundreds of prophecies about him have come to pass. And he's saying, those are completed. Those are finished. I am the final, this crucifixion, the bitter tasting sour wine that he had to take right before he died, that was prophesied in the Bible. So all of this, all of these details had been fulfilled. The need to go for a go-between, for a priest, for a priest to offer our sacrifices to help our sins be forgiven, that is finished. That whole system of priesthood is over, Jesus is telling us. And the Bible calls him our high priest forever, for eternity. Animal sacrifices are eliminated because he is the final sacrifice. But there's two that I want to focus on the most. First of all, when he said it is finished, he was telling us that Satan's dominion over me as an individual has been brought to an end. Praise God. Satan's dominion. Satan had stolen the dominion that God had given Adam and Eve. He usurped it or stole it by them sinning and giving into his temptation to sin. He took what did not belong to him. That's what usurp means. He took a position of authority over humanity and held us bound to his authority with this sin. He took a place he did not belong. And Jesus said that dominion is finished. That position of Satan over you is eliminated as I die here on the cross. It is over. Colossians 2:15 says he has disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, disarming them. Praise God, Satan no longer has dominion on humanity anymore. If we come to Christ, receive him, we are put back in a place of dominion with him. The Bible says he's seated in heavenly places, and it says that we are seated with him now in heavenly places, positionally. So Satan is not our concern as far as defeat, as far as we have no hope against his dominion. We have Jesus brought that dominion back. Praise God. The second thing that is finished that I want to focus on finally is one of the most powerful things to me anyway, is that the wrath of God against me as a sinner has been satisfied. The Bible says this in Romans 5:9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? You know, that Old Testament scripture I mentioned, that God's anger or wrath is kindled against the sinner all the day long, is no longer the case. Say, has God changed? No, but the posture that we are in relationship to sin and him and his wrath has been satisfied. Jesus took all of the wrath of God. The Bible says that in one place, it pleased God to bruise him, to wound him. In other words, by pleasing it, it means he satisfied the requirement that sin must be punished by the death of a human being, by blood being spilled. But there was no human being that could qualify to take away our sins. This is the great miracle of Good Friday, that God himself sent his own son in the form of flesh, lived a sinless life, and then died, taking all of our punishment upon him. We hear this over and over in the church, that he died for our sins. Well, he died to satisfy God's need, God's requirement that he must bring wrath upon those who disobey, upon those who do not follow him as God. He cannot allow us to continually sin without there being some ramification, without there being some sort of justice for him, not for us. And so we've offended God when we sin. And this is the great thing about Good Friday for me, is that there are times I know God should be angry with me. There are times I know that his wrath should have fallen on me. But in the end, Jesus said, the wrath of God, the hatred for you as sinners because of your acts, if you'll trust in me, you no longer have to fear God's wrath. Wow. That's why this dark day breaks to a new daylight. And we can say with confidence, if we know Christ, if we have given our life to him, if we have come to him and said, I receive this great gift, I receive this position, I put you as Lord and Savior of my life. If we do that, then all the anger of God against us has been satisfied. Wow. And so now God's love is freely shed abroad in my heart, according to the Bible and the epistles, that he has by his Spirit shed his love abroad within us, that he might show his glory to the world, that he might diffuse among the world a pleasant aroma. Praise God. And so because we now have satisfaction of joy, because he has satisfaction that his wrath has been satisfied. Jesus allowed all the punishment that hell could, that heaven could bring out, that all the punishment that God could allow on a human flesh, he took it on that cross. Praise God. As you think about this Good Friday, as you contemplate the crucifixion of our Savior, if you think about the punishment upon his flesh, upon his body, the battle of his soul and mind that he went through in the garden, when you think about that and you contemplate that, think about the fact that he took the wrath of the Heavenly Father, that no longer do we have to think about God striking us down with lightning and coming down with thunderous judgment. There will come a day when he judges the nations, but Christ himself will judge. And those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he will receive. And those who are not will be cast into everlasting darkness, not prepared for man, but the Bible says prepared for the devil and his angels. There's not even a place that God has prepared for human beings who reject him. He has to put those people somewhere that was prepared for something else. He means for us all to come to him, to accept this great gift. If I walked up to you tomorrow and you have hundreds of thousands of dollars of crushing debt on your life, as I said in the beginning, and I said, you know what? I'm going to pay it all. Matter of fact, I already paid it all off for you. It is paid in full. It's finished. I think you'd probably accept that and rejoice. You might say, what's the catch? And in my case, I'd be able to say, well, no catch. Just go forward. But in the case of God, the only catch is that we accept it by faith and then we give our lives to him. And that's the part I don't understand, how we reject that sometimes, that all this great debt of sin has been taken off of our shoulders. But yet we'll reject God, deny his existence, rebel against him continually, even after having the knowledge, having been enlightened to this idea. So on this Good Friday, 2024, stop, contemplate, think. Meditate on the idea that all of God's anger has already been expended on Jesus Christ as it pertains to my sin. Thank you, Lord, for doing that, for dying for me, for taking the punishment that I deserve, for taking the penalty that I deserve, for dying the death I deserve, for going through the bowels of hell that we're going to talk about tomorrow morning that I should have walked through. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. Because that makes all the other blessings possible. Father, I pray you help us today to see the great gift of it is finished, the great gift of paid in full. Thank you, Lord, the enemy, Satan, the enemy of our soul, no longer has authority over our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that your wrath has been satisfied. Help me to live uprightly before you with the power and the knowledge that your wrath has been satisfied and you've shed your love abroad in my heart. You've put it right inside of me. Lord, we thank you for dying for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood, your body, for your life expended for us that we might be free. The one and final sacrifice, the end all sacrifices. Thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name, amen. May this be a powerful and meaningful Good Friday to you. And remember these words from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God. Gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m.